And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show, special edition right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuscaloosa Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Wednesday afternoon. We are coming to you live from the WMFO studios here in Medford, Massachusetts, Greater Boston. Got a loaded program for you today. Washington Wizards reporter and Washington, D.C. sports personality Ashley Baker, the legend herself of 1340 AM Fox Sports Radio in D.C., is joining the program at 3:45 to talk NBA basketball as NBA training camps officially begin and get underway across the league. It's a loaded program today. The phone lines are open. If you want to holler at me, you can. Call me, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Now, it's Wednesday. And in the NFL, that usually means right about now, teams that are playing on Sunday are beginning to prepare for the upcoming week's opponent. The New England Patriots are no different. They are preparing for their upcoming matchup on Sunday night. Except, if we're being completely honest, this week is simply not just any other week. Tom Brady, for the first time since he departed in March of 2020, is making his return as the defending Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this Sunday night in Foxborough. And I have to start off by mentioning the following. Ever since the schedule was released, and ever since that the rumors first was leaked out into the media that there was a possibility that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be playing the New England Patriots this upcoming season, the interest level in this game and this game alone has been unlike anything that I've ever seen in terms of a regular season matchup. We've seen players go back to old places, old faces in new places. We've seen this happen in the NFL before. We saw it with Peyton Manning when he went back to Indy as a member of the Denver Broncos. We saw it with Brett Favre when he went back to Lambeau Field as a member of the Green Bay Packers in 2009. We've seen this time and time and time again. Heck, in sports tends to lend itself as the ultimate live reality drama show. And what you're seeing is the ultimate drama show that is between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady playing out itself this week, right now. And if you turn into any Boston sports radio program, whether it be my show or even any of the two major sports stations and so forth, that's the conversation that's being had all this week. But I haven't had the opportunity to really dive fully into exactly how I feel. And I'm going to do exactly that during this segment. But let me ask you this. Did we really have to come to this point? Honestly, did we really have to come to this point where we're talking about Brady and his return to New England instead of him still being here? Now, I want to go back 2 years for good reason. And the reason is this. Because 2 years ago, on this program, on this very same station and its airwaves, back in the summer of 2019 on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO, I mentioned that the contract that Brady had received indicates that this could very possibly be his final season in New England. Frankly, I got laughed at. mocked in some cases turn out to be right. But the bigger point that I'm making is this. The issues that went on between Belichick and Brady, some of it is beginning to leak out. More on that during the next segment. Some of it we will never fully know and truly know for sure what went on between Brady and Belichick. But we do know this. Brady is unquestionably the greatest quarterback of all time. That debate ended the night of February 5th, 2017 against the Atlanta Falcons when he won his fifth Super Bowl. That debate ended then. That debate's over. And Belichick, in his infinite wisdom, and I'm using air quotes on this, said, Brady is getting closer to the end. He's not going to make it past 45. It's better to move on now and begin to look for the new quarterback. He did. And right now, he's still paying the price. And that's not an indictment against Mac Jones by any stretch of the imagination. When I say that he's still paying the price, I mean that he's paying the price regarding just how wrong he was in his evaluation back then, 2 years ago. And mind you, this is well before there was a global pandemic, well before the realities of the New England Patriots would forever change on that fateful day of March 18th, 2020. Long before all of that. But what I do know is this. What I do know is that this Sunday night in Foxborough, it will be something unlike anything and anyone has ever seen. As I mentioned earlier, we have seen quarterbacks return to old places in which they used to play. Legendary quarterbacks at that. But what makes this so different is the fact that Brady did this for 20 years here in New England, in Boston. He took a franchise that was absolutely riddled with losing. They were failures more often than they were winners. Brady comes in, and by a stroke of luck, and I do mean a stroke of luck, because how often is it that the starting quarterback of your team, who that you just paid $100 million to, gets knocked out and nearly dies at that, only to be replaced by the backup quarterback who would begin an era of unprecedented dominance in NFL history? It doesn't happen. It never has happened before. We can sit here for the next hour and run through the last 20 years, the ups and the downs and the wins and the losses and everything else in between, and even the controversies, Spygate and Deflategate. We can do that. But I'm not going to do that in this particular moment in time, because this segment is all about Tom Brady and the fact that he's returning to the New England Patriots this Sunday night to face off against Belichick. And basically, he's going to stick it to Bill. That's what this is all about. And if you're just tuning in, call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. The phone lines are open. But man, did we have to get to this point? No, we didn't have to get to this point. You see, what were one of the big chiefs of concerns and complaints that Tom Brady had during his tenure, especially in the last 3 or 4 years that he was here in New England? He wanted to have more input. Sure, that was one of them. He wanted to have more weapons. Yes, he wanted to have X, Y, and Z, and Bill would not budge. So he leaves. He goes to Tampa Bay. He pairs up with Bruce Arians. And all that he does in his first season is win the Super Bowl, despite getting off to a slow start. Frustrating if you ask, depending on who you ask. I mean, if you remember last season, Brady and Belichick, had a lot to adjust to. They had a lot to learn. Brady had a lot to learn in regards to the Bucs system, the offense, the personnel that he was working with. I've long been a big believer that on that very point alone, that it takes time. When you are leaving a place that you are so used to, that you know like the back of your hand for 20 years into something new, it's not going to come together right away. What the Bucs did, they basically created a super team. They created a super team. Brady got his weapons. And he's practically been proving that age is nothing but a number. He hasn't been wrong so far. At all. But back to Brady versus Belichick this Sunday. It's really astounding when you reflect on the headlines going into this game. 20 years. You win 6 Super Bowls. You go to 9 in New England, winning 6 of them. You can't sit here, even as a Patriots fan, and begin to sit through everything that he accomplished as a New England Patriot, winning 3 MVPs, 6 Super Bowl titles, and not think that he did an awful lot for this organization. And I think Patriot fans, you shouldn't turn your back on Tom Brady this weekend. What you should do is thank him, but you root for your team. If you are a Patriots fan, you root for your team. You don't root for Tom Brady because he's on the other team. And that's no disrespect to Tom Brady and everything that he means still to this city and to this region. 20 years of dominance is something that we will never see again. We've seen dynasties come and go in the NFL. We saw with the Steel Curtain. We saw with the Cowboys in the 90s. And even going back a little bit before then, you saw in parts with the New York Giants. They had those great teams in the 80s and early 90s. But even then, all of those times, they all came and went. None of them compares to what Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were able to do for 20 years. And Sunday night, it's going to be very weird. Tom Brady is back in New England, but as a member of the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so is Rob Gronkowski. But we're not spending time talking about Rob Gronkowski this week. We're talking about Tom Brady. And the fact that Bill Belichick thought it would be the right move to let him go. Was it the right move to let him go? In hindsight, no. However, I do mean however. If you are one who has followed this team and follows the NFL for a number of years, you have to be wondering, why did Bill Belichick let Tom Brady go? And what was his plan? Back during when this show was pre-recorded, I used to talk about how, what was Bill Belichick's plan post-Brady? As it turned out, he really didn't have a plan because he signed Cam Newton at the 12th hour, if you remember June of last year, right before training camp started. And we all know how that went. It didn't go well. And oh, by the way, he gets cut right at the end of training camp. So I have to ask this following question to you, the listener, and to all of you who are following and listening to this program. What are your feelings regarding the New England Patriots, moving on from Tom Brady, and for the game that's coming up this upcoming Sunday night? That's the question that I do have. And it's something that I do wonder. A lot of people, based on what I've seen on social media, they've mostly said Tom Brady should still be a Patriot. I agree. However, what I also will even take it a step further and say, it shouldn't have gotten to this point. Why did we get to this point is something that I don't think anybody can and will ever truly understand. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Seth Wickersham book that's coming out, because it is a compelling story. And I'll be the first to tell you that there's going to be a lot to get through in terms of that. There's an interesting column that's on ESPN.com that I'm going to talk about in full coming up during the next segment of this program. You're listening to The Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org, available on demand on The Shukri Wright's podcast on iHeartRadio and Odyssey. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Form Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Also on demand on iHeartRadio and Odyssey app and wherever you get the Shukri Wright podcast. You can listen to this program and all programs of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford on demand on iHeartRadio and Odyssey as mentioned. Now, giving you a heads up, at 3:45 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Ashley Baker joining the program to talk all things NBA as the NBA training camp has begun, and I am pumped. So many really good headlines, so many good storylines heading into the 2021-2022 NBA season, and can't wait to get into it fully with Ashley Baker. The legend herself, DC sports personality, and Washington Wizards reporter for 1340 AM Fox Sports Radio in DC area. So that's coming up at 3:45 Eastern, so stick around for that. And as always, phone lines are open. Call me, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. For now, we're going to continue to talk about the Patriots and as well as this ESPN.com article that came out today that really got my attention. I mean, goodness grief. So, in case if you haven't heard, the new Seth Wickersham book is coming out on October 12th. And it goes into detail regarding the Patriots dynasty, including the decision for Tom Brady to leave New England and to join the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after the 2019 season. But this article on ESPN.com, I really want to go into during this segment because there was something about this that really is telling. And one of the things that I wondered about, and even talking about it during the last segment in which I mentioned, did Brady have to leave or did Belichick have to push Brady out the door? And the answer was no. But there's something about that particular aspect of this whole thing that I look at Belichick very differently. And I really was a harsh critic of Bill Belichick last spring, like last March in particular, when I voiced my displeasure about him bringing back Cam Newton at the time after the season he had just had. And I turned out to be right. But the bigger issue with all of this now is that the Patriots have not looked good through the first three games of the season. And they got the defending Super Bowl champions coming to Foxborough on Sunday night. And Tom Brady, and you know the place is going to be rocking, it's going to be emotional. And Bill Belichick just seemed as if he just does not care. He gives out the persona in the media that he just doesn't care. It's like, okay, this is just another game. I got newsflash for you, buddy. It isn't just another game. You're going up against the very quarterback that not only that you drafted, but you practically gave up on. And as a result, he said, you know what? I'm out. I can't do this no more. I'm going to go to Tampa Bay. As far as the article is concerned, I'm going to read you a chunk of the article itself. And as I mentioned, it's on ESPN.com. Titled, New England Patriots book goes inside secretive and controversial franchise and Robert Kraft, Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick. This is where it begins. He writes, quote, not Seth Wickersham himself. It says, in the end, Tom Brady wanted to say goodbye in person to his longtime coach. But according to a new book to be published next month, Bill Belichick said he wasn't available and insisted the two New England Patriots legends talk on the phone. Even though Belichick told Brady that he was, quote, the best player the league has ever seen, unquote, Brady told a friend the fact that it came over the phone was telling about how badly the duo's relationship had deteriorated over the years. The book, titled It's Better to Be Feared by ESPN writer Seth Wickersham, will be published on October 12th by Liveright Publishing. It's based on hundreds of interviews with a range of sources, including previously confidential emails, texts, game plans, scouting reports, and internal New England studies, including one in which Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Tiger Woods, and Brady were interviewed about personality traits that fueled their greatness. I want to stop there. I mentioned that there is something really telling about this article, and that was it right there. In the end, Tom Brady wanted to say goodbye in person to his longtime coach. But according to the Wickersham book to be published next month, Bill Belichick said he wasn't available and insisted that they talk on the phone. I'm genuinely baffled by this. And here's why. You couldn't make time for the very player that you groomed. You practically groomed him. You raised him, practically. You drafted him when he seemingly was a complete afterthought in the 2000 NFL draft. You taught him everything that he has come to know in terms of being an all-time great NFL quarterback. And you couldn't say goodbye in person? So I want you to think about it this way. Imagine you have a friend or someone of high significance to you in your life. You've known this person for 20 years. He's leaving. He's made it a point that he's leaving. he meets with each person in each person's family. Like, let's say, for example, in this case, the father. And for some reason, your best friend can't even come and say goodbye or see you later. How does that sound? Now, I get that some of you are wondering, wait, so you're saying that Brady and Belichick were best friends? No. But I want you to understand something. You don't build a relationship with anybody for over 20 years, and they say that the person says he wants to say goodbye to you in person, and suddenly you're not available. You can't make the time to go and say, so long, I'll see you when I see you. Of course it's going to leave a bad taste. I mean, how could it not? Now, I also want to point out that Belichick, we've seen time and time and time again, he could be one cold-hearted SOB. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. We've seen this over and over again in relation to how he deals with players. Go ask Malcolm Butler, for example. Go ask Rodney Harrison. Go ask Richard Seymour. Go ask Lawyer Malloy. And now, he treats Brady as if he was just just another player. I mean, there's a difference between being ice cold and being a complete cold-hearted son of a gun. This is you being a cold-hearted son of a gun. What else do you possibly have to do to make a person feel not wanted? Like, in life, a person can only tolerate nonsense and BS for so long before they say, you know what? I'm out. I can't do this no more. Enough is enough. Brady hit that point, and it was evident during the 2019 season. Heck, I'm going to even go a step further than that. It was evident during the 2018 season. He wanted to be gone. He wanted to be gone. He was frustrated. Remember, Gronkowski had just retired after losing Super Bowl 52. That Belichick, in more ways than one, lost the game. Because for whatever reason, he decided that his ego was more important than the betterment of the team. You heard him say this time and time again. I do what's best for what's good for the team. Bull crap. It's absolute garbage. And the way that I look at Belichick now, after seeing this, I'm like, okay, you treat the best quarterback to ever play in this league like complete utter garbage. He goes elsewhere and succeeds. Here you are, you stuck in 2 years of a rebuild. First year didn't go so well. You had landed at number 15 in the 2021 NFL draft. You draft a new quarterback after having to trade away what you wanted to be the successor to Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo in 2017. How did that work? That's right, it didn't work well. And here you are. Mac Jones, God, I like the guy so much. This is not a shot at Mac Jones whatsoever. As far as the problems that the 2021 New England Patriots have, Mac Jones is not one of the problems. He's not. My problem was with Bill Belichick. You did not have to spend over $180 million in free agent contracts if you simply did Brady a favor. All he asked for was help, and you provided him with scraps. You provided him with scraps, and you expected him to turn scraps into a meal. He may have been able to do that for an extended period of time, unlike anything that we've seen in the NFL. But here's the reality. He wasn't going to be able to, you know, continue to put up with it forever. And it showed, and he packed his bags and said, you know what, Bill Belichick, I'm giving you the finger. Screw you. I'm taking my talents elsewhere, and I'll show you. How often is it that a quarterback dominates with one team for 15 plus years, leaves, and then goes win a Super Bowl in his first year elsewhere? Peyton Manning couldn't even pull that off. Peyton Manning was let go after the 2011 season, in a season in which that he missed entirely because he had that surgery to repair his neck. He goes to Denver in 2012. He doesn't even win a Super Bowl in his first year. In fact, it took him 3 years. 2012 was when he joined the Broncos. It took him 3 years to win a Super Bowl with Denver. He got to Super Bowl in 2013, but he got his rear end handed to him by that dominant Seattle Seahawks defense. But the point that I'm making about Brady is this. We've seen time and time again when it comes to Belichick and his dealings, Belichick and the way that he handles players. I wonder if you are the Patriots, if you're a Patriots fan, was this really about ego, or was this about him saying, I'm in charge, I'm in control, this is all because of me? Me, 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 me. Or will Belichick ever openly come to his senses and say, you know what? I let the biggest piece of the puzzle of this dynasty walk away, and I'm going to pay the price for it. Because let's face it, let's be honest, Tom Brady hasn't slowed down in the first three games. And even though that the Buccaneers lost to the LA Rams this past Sunday, you have to be honest and admit that he's looked better now than he did at 24. That's saying something. You don't believe me? Go back and watch some of the highlights and even the archive games from 2001 versus now. And that's scary. But as far as the article is concerned, the article continues and it says, Wickersham writes that Brady ultimately left New England not only because both Belichick and Kraft refused to commit to him until his stated goal of playing until age 45. It was believed that Belichick thought Brady was close to the end, but because he wanted to be at an organization that welcomed his input rather than ignored it, something he ultimately found in Tampa Bay. See, life is about appreciating the people that you are surrounded with. Business is about appreciating the employees that you hire to bring in to help your company become successful. When your business begins to suffer or lag, who do you blame? You got no one to blame but the owner. What type of work culture is the owner creating, or the general manager creating? That's the question. And it turned out it wasn't a culture where Brady's input was appreciated or wanted. As it was mentioned in the article, you work somewhere for 20 years and you say, hey, boss, I got a whole list of ideas I want to share with you. And he tells you, I don't need your ideas. We're good. Thank you so much. I'm going to do this thing my way. And I got this. But thank you, Tom. How does that make you feel? Honestly, how does that make you feel? 20 years continuously over and over and over again. So Brady said, I'm good. I'm going to go to Tampa Bay. I want to have an input. How did that work? Oh, let's go ahead and bring in Antonio Brown. Not only does Antonio Brown join him in Tampa Bay, but he also plays a vital role in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl last season. How do you like those apples? Oh, I want to go convince Rob Gronkowski to come out of retirement. He did. Bruce Arians signed both guys. And both guys were a vital part of the Buccaneers offense that put on an absolute clinic in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm telling you, the more you really deeply dive into this story, the more it really makes you wonder, was this really all about ego? Because to me, it really feels and seems like it was about Belichick's ego this entire time. It was about keeping Brady in line, keeping him tight to the line, and not giving him too much praise. Oddly enough, he was fast to give Cam Newton all the praise in the world. Yet, with Tom Brady, he couldn't even do that once. We're going to go to a music break, but when we do return, we are going to have Ashley Baker of 1340 AM Fox Sports Radio in Washington, D.C. join us right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford in just a matter of minutes. But for right now, you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. You are listening to a special edition of the Shukri Wright Show, filling in for the Voice Mobile, Joyce the Voice. She will be back next week during her regularly scheduled time, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Right now, you're listening to a special edition of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuss-Free from radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn radio app and globally on WMFO.org. On the line right now, I am joined by the one and only Ashley Baker of 1340 AM Fox Sports. Fox Sports, one second. Yeah, here we go. Joined by Ashley Baker of 1340 AM Fox Sports down in the DMV area. Also, sports radio personality and as well as cover the NBA. Washington Wizards reporter as well. She joins the show right now here on 91.5 FM WMFO. Ashley, how are you doing today?
I'm excited. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. I cannot believe that we are already on day one of training camp, and I'm like, goodness grief. Weren't we just talking about Milwaukee having just won the NBA title this past June, like just a short 3 months ago?
Yeah, it was. I'm happy. Look, you're not finding no complaints over here. If I could have basketball 365, I would have basketball 365. But yeah, you know, of course, the season was definitely a bit shorter. Mm-hmm. The off season was definitely a bit shorter. Not as short as last year's off season. But
yeah,
I'm excited. We're getting things back on track. We're back starting in October. Last season we started in December, so I'm just really excited that things are getting back on track, you know, amidst the pandemic.
I wholeheartedly agree. And one team that is looking to get back on track is the Los Angeles Lakers. And considering the moves that they made during the offseason, in which that they went out and they brought in Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, they brought back Rajon Rondo as well. I look at this team and I'm like, goodness grief, this team, you might as well give them a whole bunch of AARP cards. I mean, because they are old. But one thing that LeBron did say is that he has heard and seen a lot of the skeptics out there talking about that this is an older Los Angeles Lakers team. So my question to you, Ashley, is do you think age will play a factor in the Lakers' bid to attempt to win their 18th title this year, or do you think it will be a detriment in terms of their championship aspirations?
Not necessarily, because I think people are only talking about the age factor when it relates to injuries, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and honestly, the people that they've covered, I mean, this past year when Russ was with the Wizards, that was really the first year that we saw him, like, out for an extended period of time with an injury. It's been some time now. I feel like Russ is typically always available. That was the biggest thing, him coming to Washington over, you know, us having John Wall, was that we knew that Russ was going to be available. The injuries sidelined him. But outside of that, he's not an injury-prone guy. I don't think Carmelo Anthony is this injury-prone guy. Trevor Ariza is typically available. Rajon Rondo, he's 50-50 with the injury, I think. Again, everybody had a short off season last year, and I think that did play into the longevity and the injuries that came up with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. So I think people are only talking about age when it comes to that part, because all of them are still walking buckets. All of them can still score. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook is a walking triple-double. So we're certainly not talking about their skills diminishing because of their age.
Yeah,
I think people are just correlating that in regards to the possibility of injury. As long as they stay healthy, I don't see why that would matter at all with the Lakers.
Now, another team out west, and I've talked about this during the summer, that I have a funny feeling that if they could somehow, and I do mean somehow, avoid the injury bug, this is a dark horse team in the Western Conference. I'm talking about the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson has missed 2 years due to back-to-back season-ending injuries. He's coming back healthy. And you talk about Steph Curry and his ability to still be an elite player, and as well as Andrew Wiggins, who is going to be taking another step forward in terms of his progression. He's going to be entering his eighth NBA season coming up. So my question to you is, do you see the Golden State, if healthy, being a top five team in the West, or do you think that this is still a Western Conference that is entirely either the Lakers or the Suns to lose.
So here's my deal. My concern with the Golden State Warriors, unfortunately, again, if they can stay healthy, like you were saying, they need that third body. They need that third person to be available. And it's quite obvious we believe that third person is going to be Andrew Wiggins. But that is all contingent upon his vaccination status. If he doesn't get vaccinated, he's not going to be available as they would want him to be available, right?
Absolutely.
You know, Steph did such an incredible job. I mean, they got in the play-ins last year. Steph did an incredible job. And, again, this is without his Splash Brothers with him. So that's going to be, again, everybody's coming off of rest. You got Jamal Murray coming back for the Nuggets. Like, I think at some point he'll be back. Again, like you mentioned, Phoenix, the Lakers. I mean, the West is stacked. I can go on and on about how stacked the West is. I really don't know. You know, initially I did say with Klay Thompson coming back fully healthy that they would be a top five team, but that was under the impression that they would have that third person in Andrew Wiggins progressing like you mentioned. And I really don't know because we don't know what his availability is going to be. So I will say I think that they will at least make to the playoffs, a bona fide playoff team or play-in team. I'm not sure, but I really can't. I don't know. I really don't know yet about that top five. That's a toughie right now.
That's a really good point. And for those that are just tuning in, Ashley Baker, Washington Wizards reporter for 1340 AM Fox Sports Radio in D.C., and sports radio personality as well, joining the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. But there is one story that has been absolutely crawling up the back of my ears, and that is Kyrie. That's Kyrie Irving.
Oh,
and
Kyrie.
I got, Ashley, I got a lot to unload. And I please bear with me for a moment. The fact that this is someone who we know that this guy is the most talented ball handler in the league. I can't find anyone else who is more gifted than Kyrie Irving. But his whole stance on getting vaccinated, especially considering that in New York at the Barclays Center, they are basically mandated that everyone who is coming to the games, they have to be fully vaccinated, basically. And Kyrie has basically said that he doesn't plan to get vaccinated at all. So my question to you is this. Do you think that Kyrie Irving has a point in terms of him not getting vaccinated? And if so, how severely does it diminish the chances for the Brooklyn Nets to pursue a championship this upcoming season?
Kyrie is a huge part of everybody saying that Brooklyn is going to be champions if they stay healthy. 100%. It goes without saying. I don't know if people still have that same notion if Kyrie is not in that equation. As far as him not getting vaccinated, you know, again, it's everybody's personal choice, but you're affecting your teammates and you're affecting the team's chances having you at their disposal, which is what they pay you for, when you don't get vaccinated. I personally believe at some point Kyrie will get vaccinated. I don't think that he'll let his teammates down like that. But it's tough. It really is tough. And again, everybody's personal decision on what they do with their body is their own personal decision as to what they do on their body. But, again, I really don't think we're having this conversation about, and this doesn't take away from what Kevin Durant is. It doesn't take away from what James Harden is, and they have tons of pieces. But Kyrie is such a pivotal part of that team. I don't think that people are just going to say that they're shoo-ins to the finals if he's not available. Because, again, injuries happen. Things happen. We saw what happened with James Harden. He wasn't available. He gave it his all in those East Conference final. But you know, we'd probably be having a different conversation if somebody like James Harden was 100% healthy on top of what Kevin Durant was doing in that series against the Bucks. So you got to just take that stuff into consideration. You know, we don't know if the injury bug is going to hit. And I don't know. It's a whole lot. Like you said, it's a whole lot to that Kyrie situation. It's just a lot. It make my head hurt. To be honest, it make my head hurt.
Listen, my head is already is already ready to explode just thinking about it. And among the many big storylines going into the upcoming NBA season, the Atlanta Hawks, because we saw what they were able to do last season in the NBA playoffs, in the playoff run, especially in that Game 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers that were heavily favored. But one of the big questions that I do have, especially with Coach Nate McMillan going into the new season, is the development of Trae Young and Clint Capella. How important will it be for this duo to continue to develop and as well as prove that last season was not a fluke, given that they are going to be competing in the Eastern Conference that is going to be stacked in terms of the top three spots, whether it be Brooklyn with the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks, and dare I say, even the New York Knicks, hot take alert.
It's going to be very important. I see how you threw the Knicks in there. I see how you tried to slide them in the top three. I see that. I see what you did there.
Of course.
I saw that. but it's going to be super important for them to gel, for them to have the chemistry that they left with last season once they lost to – who did they lose to? They lost to the Bucks, right?
They lost to the Bucks, yes.
They lost to the Bucks. And I think that Coach Nate McMillan is the guy that's going to keep them on track. I love Nate McMillan. I mean, he did a fantastic job with that team last year. Again, completely surprised everybody. But like you said, and like I talked about the West before being stacked, right?
Yeah.
The East is stacked as well. I don't want to – there's a lot of people that you can't discount. We're talking, like you said, the Nets. We're talking the Nets. We're talking the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Knicks are in the mix. We're talking the Bulls. The Bulls have a squad. We're not going to forget about what Miami is. And, you know, again, you're going to throw Atlanta in. Obviously, we can't forget Boston. You know what I'm saying? So the East, like you mentioned, the East is pretty stacked. So it's going to be super important that Trae Young and Clint Capella establish their dominance really early. I would really like to see them pick up where they left off. I mean, I think they will. They had that confidence. They played deep into the playoffs last year with no expectation. Unfortunately, they had the expectation this year because you can't do what you did last year and then kind of fall off the horse. Now there's an expectation that you're going to be in that top five tier teams in your conference when you play as good and go as deep in the playoffs as they did last season. But I think Nate McMillan is going to get the job done with them. I think that I believe that they'll be a top five seed. I didn't say this some months ago, but I think that they'll be a top five seed at the end of the year.
You talked about the Miami Heat because that was a team that I looked at and I say, oh my God, this team should be a team that the Eastern Conference fears, and here's why. We saw the importance of P.J. Tucker in that James Harden trade last season when he got traded from Houston to the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, P.J. Tucker's in Miami. He joins the Heat alongside with Kyle Lowry and as well as